New Testament and the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 1, and reading there from the beginning. And then we'll read in the book of Isaiah and chapter 65, first of all. So first of all, in Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Or of the angels, He says, "He makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up, like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And then over in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah, and in chapter 65, and we'll read there just from verse 1 to verse 7, and then a few verses in chapter 66. Isaiah 65, where God says through the prophet, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who will provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, 'Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you.' These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. And then in chapter 66 at verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? All these things my hands have made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. He who slaughters an ox is like one who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who presents a grain offering like one who offers pig's blood. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense like one who blesses an idol. These have chosen their own ways, and their own soul delights in their abominations. I also will choose harsh treatment for them, and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen, but they did what was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I did not delight. Amen. And I'd like us now to turn to the passages in Isaiah that we read together. Looking first of all in chapter 65, and a verse there that we didn't read, it's verse number 12, where we read there, I will destine you to the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter. And then especially these words, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen, but you did what was evil in my eyes and chose what I did not delight in. Particularly these words, when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. And then again over in the next chapter, 66, in verse number 4, where we read, I also will choose harsh treatment for them and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, you did not listen, but they did what was evil in my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight. There's another verse in Isaiah which says that God called the people by name. He is the one who calls me by my name. But he says here in the two verses that we've read, and we'll find that these sayings are reiterated elsewhere in Scripture, God saying to us, when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. Now I'm sure that you've noticed that many folk who live lives without any reference to God whatsoever, when things are going fine for them, when things start going wrong, they blame God. They don't believe in Him for most of the time, but if something bad happens, they blame God. Why did God do this to me? And to such people, God is like a fearful ogre throwing down thunderbolts where He will. He's someone to be blamed, but never to be trusted. And I guess that's how many people, if not most people, live their lives. Avoid God at any cost, they say, because life is best when God is silent. But that's a caricature of how things really are. For one has said, commenting on the passages that we've been reading, the silence of God is a terrible thing. It mocks our prayers and makes our universe a frightening, forsaken place. Like what we have in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 12. But God is not silent. He is God who comes into the noise of this world that tries to drown Him out. And He calls us. He calls us by name to come to Him, to trust Him, and to listen to what He has to say to us. And God has been doing this from the very beginning that people were in the world. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they hid themselves in the garden, God came into the garden, we read, and the Lord God called to Adam and He said to him, "Where are you?" And through the ages, that same voice, that same question have followed mankind, and they come to us today. God is calling, "Where are you? I want to talk with you, for I have good news to share with you." But the question is, are we listening? Will we hear what God is saying to us? But who is this God who keeps calling us? What's He like? Can we really know Him? Well, let's see what we can learn about the God who calls us. In the first place, He's the Creator God, the one who made us. And we read in Genesis that God made us in His own image. The God who calls us is the God who created us. And He's given to us the special privilege, special dignity of being able to reflect something of the likeness of God in the world. And this God who makes himself known to us is God who made everything good. That's the great message of Genesis in its early words, where God created everything and he saw that it was good. And it was good for us. He put us into the world that was good. And the good God made everything that he created to be good so that people might enjoy it. They were placed in a garden, a fruitful garden, everything beautiful and everything for their enjoyment. So that there's nothing terrible about God. He is goodness itself. And he wants to share that goodness with us. And he wants us to reflect that goodness in the way that we live. And God is also the one who communicates with us. From the outset, the Bible tells us that God spoke. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 1. And at its very beginning, in the beginning, God created, and he created by speaking, and the world came into being. It was his word that brought all things into being. And God continues to speak to us. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews, in the opening chapter of that book, in the words that we read at the beginning, he tells us that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And in the book of the Gospel of Mark, in the beginning of that Gospel, chapter 1 and at verse 13, we read there that Jesus came proclaiming, he came into Galilee proclaiming the Gospel. He came preaching the good news of God. And that good news God wants to share with us, as he has done throughout all the ages of history. He speaks to us, calling us. Indeed, John, writing in his gospel, calls Jesus the Logos, the Word of God. God's message carried to us by God's amazing messenger, the gospel of the saving grace. And he calls us, in the words of Jesus, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So God, who has created us and has so made us that we can hear him speak to us, speaks through Jesus Christ and through the word that he has left us, the Bible. But are we listening? That's the question. Because this is God's final word to us. His final revelation. His final word before he comes back again, as he surely will. So this God is the Creator God. and He calls us. He speaks to us. But now let us look back at these passages in Isaiah. They're very sobering ones that we find there, because they tell us about a very sad and familiar story. God speaks to us, but what is man's response to God's call? We read the prophet saying in the words that God given, "I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen." You know, it's a depressing fact that these words are so typical of too many in our world, and at every stage of life. God calls, but nobody listens to Him. When we look over to the book of Amos, Amos was a prophet who lived in Judah, but he came to preach in the kingdom of Israel. He found in his ministry that although he preached his heart out, nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. And he found this to be tragic, because the people were going further and further away from God. And so we read in Amos several times over, God called the people to come to Him, yet He says, "You did not return to Me." 6 times in chapter 4 of Amos's prophecy, he mentions that alone. God called, but you did not return to Me. And then, because of the repeated refusal to listen and to respond to God's word, the prophet tells them that he will send a famine into the land. A terrible famine. But it was not a famine of food. It was not a famine of water. But he said he would send a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. The silence of God. And it would be a terrifying experience. In the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus came unto His own. God's message, God's messenger from heaven, but His own did not receive Him. And in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus Himself tells a parable about His kingdom. And He used the story of a king making a great feast, a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out invitations for people to come. For all was now ready, we read, but the people would not come. Friends, this is the reaction of so many people to God's calling still. I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. Have you responded to God? Have you listened to Him and come to Him. Because God communicates with us, the people have a negative response. But we find also something of when the patience of God runs out. And that is a terrifying prospect. Remember the passage in Hebrews. It said, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. And in Matthew's Gospel, as in the other Gospels, we read an account of the what we call the transfiguration of Jesus. When on a mountaintop, the disciples Peter, James and John saw Jesus in His glory. The glory of heaven shot upon Him and was manifest through Him. They saw Him as He truly is the great Son of Heaven. And during that great transfiguration experience, a voice came from heaven which said, "This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him." God has spoken through Jesus Christ, and we must listen to Him. But what happens when we don't listen to Christ? When we ignore what Christ has to say? When the good news of the saving grace of God falls on deaf ears? Well, look back at these Old Testament passages again. When I called, You did not answer. When I spoke, You did not listen. God said He was ready to respond if only they responded to Him. I was ready, He says, to be sought by those who did not ask of Me. I was ready to be found of those who did not seek Me. These were strangers to the covenant of grace. And God was ready to receive them. Were they willing to hear and to come? Because God is always listening to our desire to come to Him and to find salvation, the good news which is only found in Him. But then, in the beginning of chapter 65 here in Isaiah, we read when He says that He was ready to be sought by them and so on. I said, here I am, here I am. But look at verse 12. I will destine you to the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter. God runs out of patience at times, and the greatest of severity falls upon those who persistently refuse to follow Him. When Amos preached to the people and they persistently refused to respond, finally God said these words to them through the prophet Amos, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." And the prophet Jeremiah took up that very same message when he said in chapter 7, as we read it there, verses 13 to 15 in Jeremiah, "When I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. When I called, you did not answer. Therefore, says God, I will cast you out. Now friends, we might be tempted to say, that's all Old Testament stuff. God is different now. But the New Testament doesn't tell us things like that. But God does not change. God is still the same, calling us to come to Him and to listen to what He has to say. But the day will come when His patience will run out and judgment will fall. Just listen to this. This is Peter speaking. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance and have eternal life. But the day of judgment, that's the great day of God reckoning up with each of us, the day of the Lord will come. And in the book of Romans, Paul the Apostle in chapter 2 writes this, do you presume on the riches of God's kindness and grace and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Yes, God hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we ignore Him in our folly, not realizing that He is longing for us to come to Him, to know His good news, to find His love in the midst of this harsh and soulless world, to find salvation for all our sins. God is not an ogre to be feared, not one to be ignored. He's calling you by name and saying to you, just as I mentioned to the younger folk, son, daughter, give me your heart. God is saying, listen to Christ. And I can assure you, there's a warm welcome awaiting you when you respond to what God has to say. That is forgiveness in the word of the Lord. May God help us then, all of us, to listen to Him and respond positively. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your word and ask that You would bless it to us at this time. We pray that You would help us always to listen to what You have to say to us, for we know that with You lies the message of peace and everlasting life through Jesus who came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now let's conclude.